This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action. I'm Corky Aiken. Jim Ganley has stepped away from the microphone for a while. I'm joined by Gordon Smith on my left, your right on your radio dial.
Hello, Corky. How are you?
And we're joined by Steve Pappas of Steve Pappas Associates. And Steve, instead of us getting into the details of what you do, why don't we just jump right into it and let us have you give us the download?
Sure. So right now is a very tenuous time, if you will, for not only the Catholic churches and schools in the Metro Indy area, but across the country and all denominations. The security issue and the issue of safety is one that is really concerning a lot of people in a lot of communities. And the Metro Indianapolis area is certainly one of those. I've been involved with emergency management activities for over 20 years now. And the program that I have really been interfacing with churches on has been around for 18 years, but wasn't a heck of a lot of interest until the last three or four, and certainly since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, when there's been a lot of activity occurring across the country. And since those events, I've been getting more engaged and talking with a number of churches about how they could enhance and improve the physical security of their churches and their schools.
That seems like an expensive thing, though, Steve.
Well, what's happened, Gordon, is the federal government has a Homeland Security grant program called the Nonprofit Security Grant, which has been around since 2007. And it's a program that nonprofit organizations, churches of all denominations, can pursue and be awarded up to $150,000 to enhance the physical security of their facilities.
So to take a 20,000-foot view of this, what you are doing is you're offering to nonprofit organizations, including, relevant to our audience, churches and Catholic schools, that physically exist in higher risk areas. Is that a good phrase?
Yes, that's correct.
A way that the federal government, through Homeland Security and FEMA, can provide grant money for them to improve their security situation physically. I would throw in perhaps through training.
Yes.
Through risk assessment
processes.
So what we're trying to do here is interest those of our listeners who might be connected with someone in that kind of environment, in that kind of establishment, to know that there is this program here. Now, how long have you been in this business?
Well, I've been involved with emergency management for over 20 years. My background began in the military, operations, plans, and training officer. Once upon a time in Europe, I watched Russians watch us. Several assignments stateside, back and forth to Fort Knox, Kentucky. When my military career ended, I was involved with defense contractors for a while. Had an opportunity to return to Indiana when the defense contracting business kind of dried up. And got involved with safety and security through Indiana University. One thing has kind of led to another. My emergency management profession has now led me to this. And I see a real need for churches of all denominations, and certainly our friends in the Jewish community are seeing this firsthand, that the security of congregations, the safety of our children in schools is something that we need to become more proactive about. And this grant program is one way that we can do that, by enhancing the physical structures of our churches and schools, learn how to work with and interface more closely with law enforcement, and be a more proactive partner in our communities, looking out for not only the safety and security of our families, but those of our neighbors as well.
So does this involve hardware or programs or personnel or all of the above?
All of the above. When we say equipment or hardware, you've got a variety of things that you can purchase through what's called the authorized equipment list, which is essentially the shopping store that the government has. You want to buy American products, this is where the government will tell you cameras can be purchased through with this alphanumeric. You would then go to vendors in your community and ask them if they are indeed an American manufacturer. You can purchase products from them. Cameras are a big item. Secure and improving the security of your doors is another thing. Shatterproof glass is one. We have training that would also be involved, education as to how you can work with your local law enforcement agencies to enhance and improve your security posture. So there's several different things that go into the grant writing process, and I can enumerate those for you if you'd like me to touch on those.
Absolutely. Now, we are talking with Steve Pappas of Pappas Associates, and the federal program has an acronym, or at least a four-letter abbreviation. What is that?
And it's Nonprofit Security Grant. So the acronym is NPSG.
So NPSG.
NPSG.
Nonprofit Security Grant through...
through the Department of Homeland Security.
And then distributed and administrated by FEMA.
That's correct. And FEMA then would pass these grants down to the respective states. And in our case, that's the Indiana Department of Homeland Security.
Gotcha. And so someone is out there right now going, okay, yes, I want this. What is the process?
So what happens next is since the federal government is in the process of approving their budgets now, we can anticipate that sometime in February, probably the close to the end of the month, there will be a notice of funding that is released from the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, and it will enumerate the different requirements that a nonprofit organization will have to go through if they want to pursue this grant.
And you are the person who can shepherd them through this process, because it's a government process, which means it's not going to be...
that easy. So one of the things I can say is, given my experience being in the federal government and also working at the state and local levels, is I've gotten to understand the wickets that you've got to go through. And with this grant in particular, there's five different items that you're going to have to include in your application, if you will. It's called an investment justification, and that is where you will have to essentially answer questions that that are in the grant package. But backing up just a moment, the first thing that each church or school will have to do is a thing called a vulnerability assessment. Now, DHS, in their wisdom and wanting to help the public and private sectors out, has created a template or a checklist, if you will, that you can use to go through and conduct that vulnerability assessment yourself. So you finish that up, you take a look at what the boxes you're going to have to fill out with this investment justification, and then you have to come up with three other items. You have to provide a mission statement, you have to provide your W-9 form for your church or school, and you have to provide them with a direct deposit slip. The reason you do that is, in the event that you are awarded a grant, the federal government, and again through the state, will pay your school and or church through that direct deposit slip. But that is after your investment justification and everything else, which is packaged up, is submitted to IDHS. They then go through an evaluation process, which will go into the early summer. And by around July, you'll be notified whether or not you're awarded money under this grant program.
Now, the words vulnerability assessment sound kind of ominous. And if you can look at the words, that basically says, how likely are you to need this?
Yeah. So you're going to look at what are the threats or hazards that you face in your community, where your church or school is. Are they weather-related hazards that you have? Are there things that you can do to enhance the physical security from tornadoes? Do you have flooding issues that may present themselves? Flooding in particular is something that different grants within IDHS would cover. But when we look at vulnerabilities, threats or hazards, are you at risk of being your business being vandalized? Are you at risk of theft? Do you have a higher crime rate in and around your church or school or your community that you've seen for some period of time? Given that type of an environment, you'd probably be a good candidate to pursue this.
Now, would proximity to some sort of hazardous material manufacturing or storage be involved here? Would that be a different avenue?
That would be a different grant program. Again, something that is, however, addressed in a different IDHS a grant program. That deals with hazardous substances and hazardous materials.
Okay, so that's out there. That's not just this.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. And that's something else that if indeed you are in that kind of an environment, give us a call and we'll help you out to go through and identify who it is that you would need to touch base with to get that issue resolved.
Now, this seems like why wouldn't you want to do it, number one? But before we get to that, I'm sure that your years of experience must count for something, and that gets to how you get paid. Do you do this for free?
There's no cost to a church or school out of their pockets for this. Up front, we go through the process. We put the proposal package together and submit it. If you are awarded, then that money that you are awarded, a portion of that would then pay for my services to assist and shepherd through the purchase of equipment, identifying different types of training modules that you might need to incorporate and how to interface with the law enforcement.
All right, we're talking with Steve Pappas of Pappas Associates. His specialty is security assessment and the obtaining of federal grants to help your school or church. If you're in a high-risk area that might need some upgrades in your cameras, your doors, your risk assessment, your liaisoning with law enforcement, we're going to talk with Steve some more, get his story, and reiterate some of the most important points about this when we come back. You're listening to Faith in Action.
This is Catholic Radio Indy, spreading the good news all over central Indiana and beyond. Thank you for listening.
If your parish or school has seen an increase in criminal or suspicious activity, a federal program designed to help increase physical security may be of interest. The Nonprofit Security Grant Program is a competitive grant program appropriated annually through the Department of Homeland Security and administered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It is intended to help nonprofit organizations, including churches and religious schools, increase their physical security posture against acts of intimidation, vandalism, and other violations of criminal law in areas where such violations have occurred. The application process can be complex, so for information regarding eligibility and help in starting out, you can contact Steve Pappas at Pappas Associates LLC at scpappas@outlook.com or by calling 317-695-6961.
This is the home of 100% Catholic programming here in central Indiana, Catholic Radio Indy.
Hey, we're back with Faith in Action. I'm Corky Aiken, joined with Gordon Smith.
Hello again.
And we're talking with Steve Pappas of Pappas Associates, LLC. And Steve, you know what? Instead of me describing it, why don't you give us a brief overview again of what it is you do and who you're associated with?
So I have a private sector business that I'm the owner of, and we deal with churches and schools, focus on contributing to and improving the physical security profile of that church or school through grant funding from FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security.
You sound like somebody who has been doing this for a long time. Where did you grow up and how did you wind up in this biz?
So grew up here on the north side of town off of Ellisonville Road in the Ivy Hills neighborhood. Went through the public schools on the north side, went to Indiana University, became a commissioned officer and went to Europe for 3 years. Watched Russians watch us on a border, returned stateside for several assignments, and left active duty, was in the reserves and worked with the defense contracting business for several years. That was out in the West Coast. Had an opportunity to return to Indiana and worked at Indiana University with a program that dealt with installations, military installations around the world, and got my master's degree in safety management at that time. Later worked in the private sector as a director of safety and security for a water utility. At the same time, got involved with emergency management and was a deputy director for the Johnson County Emergency Management Agency for a number of years. Also around this time, this was 9-11, 9-11-01. And after the dust settled on that catastrophic event, I got to know some people in the FBI here in the Indianapolis field office and became very much involved with a nonprofit organization called InfraGuard, which has members from the public and private sector, primarily private sector, and people that work in one or more of 16 different critical infrastructures. And my background was emergency management. It was also the water sector at the time. So I interfaced with people in agriculture and banking and finance, the chemical sector, dam safety, just a wide range of different critical infrastructures.
So in our conversations here and leading up to our recording of this show, we have made mention that while it's never been a very safe world, basically since 2020, when the lockdowns threw everybody into complete confusion, from which I would say we really haven't recovered yet, certainly not fully. I'm thinking maybe even halfway. People are still trying to find their footing from that. And then, of course, with the most recent situation over in Israel, the George Floyd situations over here domestically during 2020, how does the global situation affect us here? In Indiana, we tend to think of ourselves as kind of cocooned and, you know, tucked away in this nice little Midwestern backwater. But I think you see things differently. What is the boil down? Where do you take it and where do you go with it?
Well, after the George Floyd riots that hit the United States, the nation's temperature was elevated, the summer that we had of 2020 was not a good one. Then more events occurred, most notably for churches of all denominations, particularly Catholics, was the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And across the country, churches, schools were defaced. Places where women that were pregnant that could go to get some counseling services were vandalized and destroyed and firebombed. And that is something that's been happening in different parts of the country since the overturning of that law. And it's an unsettled environment that we're in. I get reports and read from news feeds of different activities occurring against churches of all denominations. We have issues of crime here in the metro Indianapolis area where churches have been vandalized, graffiti written on different walls. So it's an unsettled environment that we are in. And these steps that we can take are easy enough to follow and could do a number of things to enhance the safety and security of your churches and schools.
Okay, I've got two questions for you. First is, who at a church or parish or school would be the ideal person, party, parish council, priest? Who do you need to talk to if there are concerns about some risk? And then number two, is time of the essence here? Is this something that needs to be undertaken earlier than later?
So first of all, is who is it that you talk to? Well, the parish priest is the guy in charge. And in the churches and schools that I've dealt with thus far in the last couple of years, in some cases they've delegated that responsibility to their business managers or facility managers or the parish council. Certainly you want to keep all of those people engaged and involved in the process. The second question deals with
time. Does this opportunity come and go,
right,
or is it all over
so
quickly?
So what's happening again is the notice of funding will come out some point in time in February. You'll have about 45 days to respond to that notice of funding. And during that time frame, you're going to need to get your vulnerability assessment taken care of, the different documentation with a mission statement, the W-9 direct deposit, and the filling out of the investment justification. So that's your time frame, is from the notice of funding, which will probably be in late February, till about mid-April, perhaps, is the window that you will have to fill all this documentation out. You submit it to Indiana Department of Homeland Security. They will evaluate it at the state level and also at the federal level, and you'll be notified whether or not you are awarded funding probably in the middle of summer.
Now, is there a follow-up to this? Do you have to justify after you've been awarded a grant that you actually indeed put it into place or spent it in the way you said that you needed it to?
So you'll get an award letter at the beginning of fiscal year 25, which is the 1st of September, after everybody celebrates winning the award. Then you have to conduct, depending on how old your church or school is, you may have to fill out an environmental historical preservation form that FEMA will evaluate. If your church or school is over 50 years old, you'll have to do one of those things.
Now, what's that mean?
Well, that means more documentation.
Of course, it's the government.
You've got to, let's say you wanted to improve the physical security of your church or school with cameras. Where are you going to position those cameras? Do you have to disturb the soil in any way? How deep will that trench be for conduit? What's its width and how long will it be? Those are specifics that this EHP or Environmental Historical Preservation form have to have this documented in. That review process is also something that'll take maybe up to 6 to 10 weeks max. After that is approved, then you're given the green light and you can proceed to the steps and what you had outlined in your investment justification as it related to how you want to enhance the physical security of your facility.
And to follow up with his question on the follow-up. So let's say, St. Mary's wins $50,000.
Right.
And they get their cameras and they get their enhanced doorways.
Mm-hmm.
And they get their little packet of how to be quicker on the ball with local law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they get that. They put it all together. How do they know they did it right?
They'll know that they did it right if the people within the parish have a better sense of being safe and secure in their church or school. I think that's something that's a bonus, particularly for parochial schools. We've taken steps to enhance the security of our facility in light of the threat that we see out there. How do they know that they did it right? You also will have to be evaluated through the use of training and exercises where you'll bring in local first responders. You can bring in your parish members who can participate in these exercises as well, so they understand how it all works together.
Okay, so there's nobody from the government is going to show up with a clipboard and start marking boxes. But by the same token, it's going to be pretty obvious if you haven't done what you said you were going to
right.
do.
Right. Yeah. So the government official with the clipboard and checking boxes could occur. That's part of their audit process. But there's no reason that anybody should be concerned about that.
No. And I think my question was simply as a way to deter in the mind of any listener, somebody thinking, well, how could this be defrauded?
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's a pretty tight drum.
It is. And you interface with Indiana Department of Homeland Security to ensure that you're checking all those boxes and following exactly what it is you said you're going to do in that investment justification.
Steve, how does somebody get a hold of you? What's the best way to make contact if they have an interest in following up on this issue?
So my phone number that one could reach me at would be 317-695-6961. And my email address would be S as in Steve, C as in Constantine, which is really the middle name I've got, Pappas, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, P as in Paul, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, at Outlook.com.
So let's get that right again. SCPAPPAS at Outlook.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a website also?
That'll be coming soon.
Okay, very good. 317-695-6961. We have been talking with Steve Pappas of Pappas Associates, LLC, who is a local security expert. If your church or your school has seen crime, vandalism, or other higher security risks in the area, Steve is the man to contact to help you go forward with your educational, evangelical, and worship missions. Steve, thanks so much for taking the time to come in today. God bless you. We're glad you're here.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.